Well, welcome everybody. I'm so glad to meet up with you again and sit in circle this way. You know, some months ago, many, many people reached out to us and felt like it was time to sit together as a community and really look at this moment of change and time that we're in so that we could help each other take the next step and stay firm in our step and ourselves as we do so. I just wanted to first recognize the Center for Sacred Studies and all that it holds, and it's the one that is helping hold all of this. And I'd ask for your prayers, because many of you might have heard that our Mother Water River, raised up in Guerneville in a big, big way. In fact, I'm coming to you tonight from a hotel because I leave tomorrow on a plane to head to D.C. for some meetings, and then for the fountain, and then we'll go on to Columbia, where I will be going into high ceremony with a council and the elders there until 13th of March. So please light your candles, join in prayer, however that your guidance shows you to do so, so that you can gather with us in a forceful way, in a strong yet gentle way that is focused with full intention to activate whatever this journey to Columbia will do to help us all. So that's my wish and my goal. So the Mother River's poured herself out, and my husband Russ and I had to leave Guerneville last night before 7, or the waters were going to take over the last road that was out of town, and we would miss our connecting flights here. So we left just in time. And now they say Guerneville looks like a bit of an island. They had to move people out in boats. So I'm praying for all of our neighbors and relatives and friends and in our community there that they can go through this without too much harm to self or the things they care for. It's a river community, and they're used to this thing, the mother coming up and getting strong with them at times. And as one man said on the news last night, and after the river goes back down, then we as a community all come together and we help clean up and put things in its right place again. We've been blessed by her waters. What a wonderful way to hold what's happening. So our Center for Sacred Study store is right in the middle of town. And we had to go yesterday and a lot of our community and lift things up so they were 2 feet above. So the waters hopefully wouldn't hurt any of the things we hold in the store, because we carry many, many indigenous peoples and artists and works on consignment there. And so that's how the store works. So I'm giving great thanks for the Center for Sacred Studies. I want to also give great thanks to Margene, who's been helping us with all of the arrangement of this call so we could all gather here. There's 152 people that registered for this call tonight. So whether you're online with us tonight or whether you're listening to this later, I give great thanks for you and the thoughts you put in motion that's bringing us together in these ways, especially in this amazing moment we're standing in. So I also want to think of my sister, Darlene Hunter, whose both of her adopted parents ended up in the hospital. They've just been released from the hospital, and now she's had to fly down there to really help navigate what's going on. They're both in their late 80s, been living together for 70 years, and it's a big moment of life for them both. So I wanted to take a moment before we start to just hold a moment of silence and prayer, not only for Darlene's family, for her and all the good things she does for all of us and the woman. I give great thanks for how a life weaves itself together, because I was dropped off and now I'm back on. So through that moment of prayer, and I thank you all for participating in it that way with me, I want to just lead us now into a prayer for tonight in our work. Because tonight what we're going to be looking at is navigating the shift. And yeah, each month has set itself up so that we are really looking at all that the divine brings us, the tools that are available to us to help us walk through this time of change and stay awake in it, stay fully awake in it, and to help each other so that we're compassionate with each other and compassionate with ourselves. So I just want to say, Mother, Father, God, helpers of the four directions, those above us and those below us, those that are working through us, ancestors, archangels, helping spirits, all those gathered here tonight on this call, in this circle, I give great thanks. I give great thanks that I woke up this morning and took a deep breath, and that breath has been shared since the first time it was put in motion, since the first original moment opened itself in this creation. And for that, I give great thanks. For all the amazing moments of challenge that are upon us, I embrace them. I give great thanks. I ask that you strengthen us and that you help us stay strong in our own solidarity with you, for you, in motion, as we walk together in a unified wave of consciousness that can move around this planet and bring the new time into being that has been prophesied about for many, many years through many different tribal lines, through many different spiritual teachers. For those kind of gifts, that kind of direction and direct import, I give great thanks. For my grandchildren and the other children standing behind them and those that haven't yet come to this planet yet, I give great thanks. For they tug upon my heart constantly. They remind me that we carry a fire of hope in our hearts, and our ways of life are returning. We are returning to the original template of who we are, to our own originality, to that place that birthed us into being in the first place. For that, I give great thanks. For the great-grandmother that dreamed us into being and is still dreaming us now, I give great thanks. And through her to all of the ancestors that are gathered around us, that are starting to get more involved through us, so that we might be instruments in that will of creation. And for that, I give great thanks. For a new day that dawned and for one that is dawning, I give great thanks. For all the seen and unseen partnerships, alliances, familia, relatives, that stand with us, holding our hearts together and our hands tightly weaved so that we can hold this basket of great possibility. For that, understanding and knowing, I give great thanks. Creator, the Star Nation lights up itself. It lights up itself and it tells a story. It has a story and a wisdom to it because we all come from the stars and we're planted here on this Mother Earth to be a bridge between these two amazing beings, Earth and Sky Nation, and all that is stirring through that relationship. We have some that you've gifted, Creator, to come here and be able to read the stars and the learnings and the teachings, so that they can guide our steps and help us stay clearly on our path of unification, bring peace on this planet, so that all the stars that are inside of each and every one of us can fully ignite themselves and brighten themselves, so that my relatives that are in Star Nation can look down on Earth and see heaven on Earth here too. And in the connection of those two stars, one in the heavens and one on the earth, there are moments of motion and understanding and direction that come. And so I give great thanks tonight, Creator, for Sybil Starr, for the way she is a conduit for you and with you, that she can be empty in herself and let you speak through her tonight so that we can understand these great movements that are taking place on the planet through the earthquakes that took place in the United Kingdom, where they're not used to such things because of the fracking, how the earth is getting her voice louder and louder, involved in our daily thinking and practice, to the great Mother Waters that moved out of that wonderful river of ours and moved across the land, blessing us, showing us the power of the energy of the life force of this planet and the bloodline that runs through her. For all these things, these connections, these interweavings, I give great thanks. And that I get to walk this way and I get to witness what you are creating for us as we listen and become those instruments of the weaving of the tapestry of new times. I humbly walk with the most amazing and beautiful people. A sample of that is here in the room with us tonight. And for that and those relationships, for the richness of what everyone brings to the table, I give great thanks. I give great thanks. I give great thanks. So I just want to say, again, welcome, 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 welcome. So the thing that I'm going to put in our prayers, because we sent some surveys out with DSS a time ago, asked people, what could we do better? What would they need or like to see? And we're trying to be a response to that. And this the community call that comes once a month, the last Wednesday, is a part of response to that. We also have a membership, we call it a mothership, because we've got scholarship money that's also being donated to help us allow everyone to participate that wants to, and to make this something that brings the field of reciprocity firmly in our way and lands with us as a way of life, so that the giving and receiving are in balance. And your gifting through the mothership allows for some of the things that we're doing in the world to continue to go and grow. And so for that, I get great thanks. For the offerings, they're developing it all now, and so I'm hoping by next month I can tell you a little bit more about it, but I wanted to let you peek at the mystery just a little bit. So with that said, I just want to also say that I got this amazing moment that I get to really present this beautiful woman named Sybil Starr. She's just beyond wonderful. She's humble, caring. You've all read her bio, I'm sure, so I don't really need to talk about all of the amazing levels of understanding and education that she went through in order for her to be able to sit here as an elder and share what that wisdom has cultivated in her. And Sybil, I just want to thank you, because I know this is a free call and everybody here gives of their free time and in the preparation of it and the sharing of it. So I just want to say thank you for that, Sybil. And I also want to just, when I was driving in my car so that I could be evacuated out of the town we love, house is not in any danger. It's high or up in the mountain, so we're good that way. But, you know, it's just thinking, wow, with all of these big moments that are taking place and then watching to see what's happening in the social scene and the political scene. I mean, as many of you have heard me say, the Kogi have said that the ending is falling into the beginning, and the beginning will roll out in 2026. It will roll out with those individuals and organizations and movements that are really based on those original principles, being heart, reciprocity, collaboration, all life is sacred, unification. So here we are poised as we're watching the ending falling down. And my elders say to me, watch the ending for information, so you can stay informed, but keep your focus on that which is breaking through. And so, Sybil, tell us what is breaking through, and can you enlighten us a little bit about this moment we're poised in? Because I know that when we stay in the moment, when we stay in the now, then we will be where our heart is open, where we can hear the direction that's coming, and have the faith and strength to walk forward into that direction. So, my dear friend Sybil, I'm going to turn it over to you and listen for the wisdom you bring tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, Jyoti. And thank everyone who's on this call and anyone who will be listening. I have actually a lot of material, and so I just want to just kind of share this. There's a lot of material here. Just really focus on the meaning and how it lands in your own heart. I mean, that's the real truth of it. And, you know, astrology is the study of the stars, and it's, you know, it's very ancient. Every culture that has ever existed has had a way of looking to the stars for guidance, and that ancient teaching of as above, so below. And there was, I was on the call last month, and it was on prophecies, and they shared something that fits so well into the astrology, and it gave me kind of a bit of a container that I hadn't had before. And they shared that, and I've heard this from other people, but it was really great to hear it from these two indigenous leaders of their communities, that Mother Earth is actually moving into higher dimensions. And one of the teachers said, Mother Earth is moving into higher dimensions, and we are moving with her. It is not if. The question is, how smooth or bumpy will the ride be? And I feel like that's what the astrology is sharing with us, is how to navigate this shift. We feel the energies. What does it mean, and how do we move through it? I also heard someone speak lately about moving into the fifth dimension, and that the fifth dimension is actually the state of well-being, just as they shared on that call, moving back into the original state before the fall, whatever we call the fall, but moving back into a state of well-being. And the shift, speaking of the shift, of the shift happening in 2026, the astrology really supports that, and I will share that at the end. But I'm going to be talking about what is happening right now, what is happening in 2019, what you can expect, what the energy is about, and the tools and ways of understanding it and moving through it. And so the first thing I want to talk about is, and what I'm really going to be focusing on is the what we call the outer planets, and I'm going to give just a little bit of description so you understand what they mean, what it actually means. But and the outer planets are really Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and Jupiter as well. And first off, these planets, everyone but Jupiter, are in feminine signs. They are in Earth and water signs. And so that's really significant, because that doesn't happen a lot, that you have such a cluster of planets in feminine signs. And to me, one thing that says that one of the teachings is to stay grounded, to stay, and as Rudolf Steiner said it, to stay earthed, to stay really connected to the earth, to the ground, as we're moving through these really turbulent times. And the water is so much about our emotional connection with each other. As Jyoti said, when the water clears up, the people come together to clean up, and it creates community, and it's our communities and our emotional connections with each other is the other one of the other big ways to move through this energy and to know that it's very important. That's what we need to do. It's so much here about the heart. It's also about inner work, our intuition. And as they say, you know, as within, so without. Our inner world creates our outer reality. And so there's a lot of inner work happening as well as what's happening in the outer world, because our inner world is actually creating our outer world. So, and there's three planets in their own signs. Neptune is in Pisces, Saturn is in Capricorn, and Jupiter is in Sagittarius. So what that means is they're just extra powerful. These planets are just really extra powerful right now. So, but the first planet that I'm going to talk about is the planet Uranus. And Uranus is known as the Great Awakener, the Divine Mind, the Divine Matrix. Uranus acts through synchronicity, through downloads, big insights, intuition, and change. Uranus always brings change. And whatever he, especially when he's touching our own lives, it's wherever we're stuck. Uranus, if you're having a Uranus event, transit, or progression, Uranus is going to move things along. And we can either roll with that change or we can resist to the change. And as you know, they say, change itself is not painful. It's that resistance to change. And Uranus is a real mover and a shaker. It's compared to lightning striking, and it always says, expect the unexpected and anything is possible. Uranus is associated with weather and storms, and it awakens us to the awareness of our inner divinity, our divine spark. The saying at Delphi, know thyself and thou will know the universe and God, is about Uranus. That is the real meaning of Uranus events. And Uranus is moving into a new sign. It's in the last degree of Aries right now, getting ready to move into Taurus for 7 years. And so it's a big change. It was in Taurus a few months last year, went retrograde back into Aries. And when anything is at the last degree of a sign, it's extra powerful. And Aries often brings challenges. It brings situations where we need courage, and it often brings chaos. But as it moves into Taurus, where it's really going to be, it really has one foot in each, and Taurus is the sign most connected to Mother Earth, to nature, and to our bodies. And so, as we can see, Mother Earth is shaking. As she's moving into higher dimensions, she is shaking. And she is letting us know where we're out of alignment with her. And so, with her being in the sign of Taurus for the next 7 years, the consciousness of Mother Earth is coming in loud and clear. And it's up to us to figure out what she's saying, to stay connected to her. Taurus also rules agriculture, food production, banking, money, and everything we value. And so with these earth changes, our food production is going to change as a climate change. Just like, you know, in the Central Valley of California has grown so much food for so long. But now, you know, it's a drought. It really takes a lot of resources to grow that food. And Uranus always kind of pushes us into the future of what needs to come next. And so the green movements around local food, growing our food locally, I feel like that's something that's really big, that is where we're headed. And what I have read is a lot of millennials are actually moving back to the farms to grow food. They can't get jobs in the cities, and they're the ones that are returning to the land. She's calling us back to grow our food locally and to grow it in ways that are healthier than what we have been doing. But it's, you know, it is a big change, and it's hard. Our financial institutions, our banks are going to be going through a lot of instability. Our markets, all of those kinds of things are going to be changing. And just as Jyoti said, you know, the economic systems that are closely related to the original ways and to Mother Earth are the direction that they're ripe now. Those things are just ripe. Mother Earth is just saying they're ripe now. And so moving in that direction and really, you know, getting behind and supporting those kinds of ways of, you know, and investing our money in, you know, in sustainable markets more, you know. Mother Earth is just simply calling us to align with her in what we value. Taurus rules what we value, our value system. And so our values are changing. Over the next 7 years, our values will be shifting much more into alignment with the values of what is natural, what is healthy, and in alignment with Mother Earth. The other area that Taurus rules that is so strong is our bodies. It is the next 7 years with Uranus in Taurus. Our bodies will be a great source of wisdom. Really listening to our bodies. If we have any health issues, I mean, really taking care of our bodies, listening, paying attention. What are our bodies will be our teachers. They are a big source of wisdom, especially in the next 7 years, because our bodies are our gifts from our gift from Mother Earth, and it is one of our big connections to her. And embodied spirituality. This is not a time for transcendence. It's like a, even if we go into altered states, it's so much about staying in our bodies, because our bodies are just really part of our spiritual path for the next 7 years in a really big way. Uranus rules the electrical and energetic system in our body, so they will be going through many changes in many openings. And I would say, you know, if you do have an illness and your body is speaking to you, it's really important to check out the energy systems, see if there's where energy blockages could be, or the electrical system of our body. Taking care of the energetic body and the electrical fields are really important. Getting rest, making sure you have rest, because it could feel like our bodies are plugged into an electrical socket at times. So just being very, taking magnesium, oatmeal baths, different things that really nurture and nourish our energy and electrical systems. Kundalini could be rising for many. We might find that really happening, connecting to a higher spiritual consciousness through our bodies, through our kundalini. The consciousness of Mother Earth is guiding us now. We need to really listen to her, and as she is moving into these higher dimensions, we are moving with her, so we really need to stay grounded and anchored with her, and as Rudolf Steiner called it, being earthed. Okay, all right. Now, the next place I'm going to go to is it's a really big event that's happening. It's a Saturn, Pluto, and South Node conjunction in Capricorn. And a conjunction is when everything is in the same place in the sky. That's really what it means. They're just very close, and it represents power. It's a really powerful aspect. And Saturn and Pluto come together three times a century, and it's about learning about the responsible use of power is one of the meanings. It's not exact until 2020, but they're very close together, and we're really preparing for that conjunction, but the energy is really in effect, and I feel like it was kicked off by the solar eclipse in January, and I think we have felt things have really changed. January and February, I mean, it has been, I think, more difficult. I have felt that. And there's a really famous astrologer and teacher at CIIS, the California Institute of Integral Studies, named Rick Tarnas. And I listened to him talk, and he said that for the next 2 years, with the start of when Saturn and Pluto, both in Capricorn and in what we would call a conjunction, that we're going through the eye of the needle. And that we are shifting into higher levels of consciousness, but going through the eye of the needle means getting in alignment with our own integrity and releasing a lot of baggage. And so, and the last time they were conjunct in Capricorn was in 1518, and that was around the time of Martin Luther. So, you know, it's a pretty big conjunction, although they do come around every 34 years. Okay. So, well, I'll talk a little bit about each planet so you have a sense of who they are and what they bring. So Saturn is called the dweller on the threshold and rules time, consensus reality, form, and duality. And it is said that to master 3D reality, we need to master the teachings of Saturn. And Saturn has to do with showing us our limitations, and which can also trigger fear. He is the rule maker and the enforcer. But also without Saturn, everything remains a dream. He is the great manifester on this plane of reality. He makes everything real. His teachings are those of character building, such as maturity, accountability, responsibility, boundaries, self-discipline, integrity, solitude, and hard work, which have to do with development of one's personal authority. Saturn is about being master of your own life. He's called the Lord of Karma and shows us that for each action there is a consequence, good or bad. And so when we think of our karma, we usually think of things that are not so good, and yet Saturn can also bring great rewards. Some people call him the cosmic paycheck, when you get out of something whatever you put into it. But Saturn times are always times of hard work. Saturn is in Capricorn for the next 2 years, so everyone on the planet is going through a Saturn transit because Saturn rules Capricorn, so their energy is very similar. And it is a time of reckoning when our personal and collective karma has come due. We will reap what we have sown. And in our personal lives, and we know the collective is having a really difficult time, but it's all coming due. We're being asked to look at ourselves, own where we might be out of alignment with our integrity, and take steps to come back into alignment. Because not only Saturn shows us where we're out of alignment, but he also gives us the teachings to show us how to come back into it. But it's usually something we don't want to do. It's almost always something we don't want to do, and yet we know in our hearts that if we, you know, it's one of those things that we know how we'll feel when we don't do it. And so it's one of those things. In Saturn times, it's time where we have some hard work to do, and we need to correct our course and get back on track. And Capricorn rules such entities as the government, political, financial, and corporate institutions, which are also being called on to become more accountable. Saturn and Capricorn are most closely aligned with the patriarchal and hierarchical systems. Saturn and Capricorn do not like change, so when change starts to happen, fear can get triggered, and that is when the shadow side comes into play, which is control. Adherence to the rules at all costs or authoritarian kinds of rule can develop in response, so we may see this. So it's kind of one of those things when people get called on their stuff and they don't like it, they often respond with trying to control the situation a lot more. Okay. Saturn can also be our harshest judge, where we judge ourselves and others. And so I'm just kind of throwing that out there, that in these times when we're trying to hold people accountable, we've got these new people coming up and having a lot of courage to speak the truth, and, you know, we could see an attempt at more authoritarian control. It may or may not work out. It's not going to work out in the long run, but in the short term, we could see those kinds of situations. Pluto is the god of death, transformation, and rebirth. And Pluto and Saturn, you know, are conjunct in Capricorn right now. And so Pluto is the god of death, transformation, and rebirth, and it's the cycles of life. Pluto shows us in our lives when things are dying. Like the snake shedding its skin, removes anything that is not true, authentic, and alive for us, even when it hurts. Pluto is ultimately about soul healing and works on the emotional plane. And it shows us where we have to feel our way through. Pluto times you can't think your way through. It really takes you down deep into your emotional body. and feeling and removing, you know, old emotional, healing old emotional hurts, put it that way. It's more like that, healing old emotional hurts. And sometimes Pluto is that unconscious trigger. It requires emotional honesty to get to the truth of the matter so that we can break old emotional patterns that keep us stuck and then make different choices. Pluto is about powerlessness and empowerment. It shows us where we give our personal power away. Pluto in Capricorn on a personal level is showing us how to become emotionally mature, taking responsibility for our behavior, then forgiving ourselves and letting it go. On a collective level, he is digging deep and uncovering the corruption of what lies below the surface in our institutions and halls of power, showing us where the truth lies, and they are beginning to erode and break down. I mean, this has actually been going on for a long time. Ever since Pluto has been in Capricorn, which he's in really the middle degrees of it now, no, the early 20s. So he's been there, thinking about 7 years, something like that, 7-8 years, and just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And when Pluto was in Sagittarius, is when Sagittarius has to do with religion. And that is when the first stories, when Pluto was in Sagittarius, is when the first stories broke about the sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. And so it's the same story going on with the government, our financial institutions, our political institutions, all those places where there's deep corruption, and it's kind of like the wound that has been lanced and it's now draining. It's just opening and breaking through. And it has a lot, and Pluto also, when something no longer has any life force in it, allows it to die and creates compost out of it. Some people, they say, Saturn, in Saturn reality, there is duality, so there is good and evil. And some people would say Pluto is the one that takes us down those paths of evil when it's the shadow side. It can take us down into those places. But Pluto breaks everything down into combos, so rebirth can happen. But ultimately, Pluto is about soul healing, and it is about self-empowerment, but it takes us to the deep wounded places in our heart, in our psyches, in our world, to kind of root it out and to let us heal it and then make different choices. The south node of the moon in Capricorn. So the south node of the moon, and they're all conjunct, they're all traveling together right now. So this is a very powerful conjunction. And the south, so the nodes of the moon, what they actually are is... and all of the planets have them, but we only talk about the south node of the moon, and it's really in relation. It's their points of destiny. There are karma and our dharma, but what they actually are is, as the moon is orbiting around the Earth, she creates a wake of energy, just like a boat moving through the water creates a wake. Well, she creates a wake of energy, and that energy is a swirling vortex. And it's one of those things that spiritual and people involved in metaphysical studies have known about since like a really long time. And what it means is the point where the energy comes into the vortex is what we symbolizes our past, and the moon herself is the she represents the emotional body, and they say in the emotional body all of the memories of the soul are encapsulated in emotional form. And so even if we don't remember exactly things that have happened, we know that our soul has had many experiences. And so the nodes of the moon tell us a lot about our soul's past. And so the south node of the moon in Capricorn has to do with the past. The north node of the moon has to do, it's like we call our North Star. It's the direction that we are heading. It's energy out, energy in, or energy in, energy out. Okay. All right. So the south node contains old patterns that we want to come into consciousness, that want to come into consciousness to be released, as well as the gifts, talents, and skills developed in other lifetimes. And Saturn and Capricorn have to do with conditioning from our ancestral lineage as well as the culture. And so the conjunction of Pluto, Saturn, and the South Node is about releasing that conditioning, who we have been told we are by others. Any places where we are carrying guilt, self-judgment, or shame from this lifetime or others wants to be released. Any places where we feel we are not good enough. Because as they say, as we move into higher dimensions, we can't take this baggage with us. This is the time to clean it up. This is the time to let it come into consciousness, to own it, and then to forgive ourselves, to know that we were doing the best we could with the information we had at that time, and that we just don't have to carry this around forever. It's time to let it go. And our ancestral lineage, any places where we're carrying anything like that around. Pluto brings with it this self-forgiveness, the ability to release old patterns and to make different choices, because that's what it's really about. When we're in a situation, we can see ourselves. I've certainly done this myself. I can see myself responding in the same old way, but I have lately been able to catch myself and able to make a different choice, and it has changed the whole outcome. And so I feel like that's what this is teaching us. That's what it's about. Okay. We can't take it with us. Okay. And so another thing that Saturn and Capricorn have to do with is elderhood and the gifts of elderhood and the gifts of the ancestors. And so it's bringing those forward, the wisdom and the gifts of our ancestors. And as we know, there's many people now in our community that want to go through the elder initiation. It's something that we have not had, and people really want it. And I feel like it has to do with, you know, all of this Capricorn energy, the honoring of the elders. It is time to honor our elders again. And it's the coming forward of the ancient wisdom of those who have that deep connection to Mother Earth, who carry that earth wisdom of many thousands and thousands of years of having this connection with Mother Earth and bringing that forward. And the North Node is in Cancer, and Cancer is the way of the heart. The way forward is through love. It is the unconditional love of the mother. Cancer is the sign of the mother. And it brings with it self-love, family, emotional connection with others, sensitivity, and that part of us that what is important to protect. Okay. All right. I know this is a lot. all right. So the next thing I want to talk about will be the last thing that I talk about, and then I'll talk a little bit about Kai Pacha and what I got from them. So the last one is the planet Jupiter and Neptune. They are in a square, and a square is a challenging aspect. And they're in a square all year, and all of these aspects I'm talking about are all in effect for 2019. And so Jupiter is the biggest planet in our solar system. And so anything Jupiter touches, he expands, he makes bigger. And it rules Sagittarius, so they have a very similar energy. And so Jupiter and Sagittarius is a visionary. It sees the big picture. Jupiter brings opportunities. It opens doors and closes others. And one of the teachings of Jupiter is, how much do I believe in myself? But one of the main things, it is about the expansion of consciousness. is opportunities for the expansion of consciousness. And Jupiter and Sagittarius are both aligned with nature and natural law. Neptune, and it's in a square to Neptune in Pisces. And Neptune is also very strong. It's the ruler of Pisces. It's been in Pisces about 7 years. So we've all been getting these big Pisces, Neptunian Pisces teachings. And Neptune's so much about unity consciousness. It is that place, it's the great cosmic sea where we are all connected. Whereas Uranus was the divine mind, Neptune is the divine heart. It is that place of the unconditional love. It is ego dissolving, wanting to be part of something greater than itself. When Neptune comes along, it really humbles us, and not even humbles us, it's those places where we're able to let go of things, let go of parts of ourselves. It is those mystical experiences and states of bliss. It is also about intuition, psychic gifts, and simply trusting that inner guide. Neptune brings compassion. And as they say, the compassion is the highest form of love. And the Buddhists say that the divine matrix is actually made of compassion. And I have heard that we incarnate to have our hearts broken, so that they open, and when they open is when we have had our hearts broken, we can feel compassion, and it is the highest form of love. The shadow of Neptune is illusion, delusion, lies, deception, addiction, and escapism. And I didn't talk about the shadow side of Jupiter is boasting, arrogance, and telling tall tales. So when they are in the challenging part of the square, the Jupiter is the ancient ruler of Neptune, so they really have a lot in common. So the square is not that difficult, except in one area or a couple of areas. And the first one is about illusion and lies. You know, we're living in a time of fake news. Lying has become okay. People in the national scene are lying, being gaslighted. Being convinced that what we see with our eyes and know in our heart to be true is not. And so how do you move through that? Well, I found this great Rumi quote, and it says, that which is false troubles the heart, but truth brings joyous tranquility. And I think that's it. You know, if there's something going around and you're troubled by it, probably a piece of it that isn't true. And even if the truth is painful, it does give you peace. And I think that's something to kind of be aware of, that it is really going around. Another challenge with this could be is what we call flight into light or spiritual bypass. But I really do think Saturn and Pluto are going to keep things pretty real. And so even if someone tries to fly into light, and life has got some challenges right now. There's a potential for increased escapism and feeling lost. The gifts of this are opening to deeper levels of the heart and into love, allowing ourselves to believe the impossible. I think it was the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland that said, I believe at least one impossible thing every day. Our beliefs create our reality, and if we believe something cannot happen, it won't. I'm not saying to do magical thinking. I'm just saying to leave a space for miracles, and because you never know, and to just leave that space open, because that's how things do happen. And there are huge opportunities for the expansion of consciousness and ecstatic states of bliss. And since Uranus is in Taurus, is those ecstatic states of bliss are in our bodies as well. Deepening of trusting our own intuition and inner guidance, and to deepen our spiritual connection to nature. Okay. All right, so now I'm going to share a little bit that I got from Kaipacha and his dream team. Okay. So first, we're going to talk about Chiron in Aries. And So Chiron is a maverick. Some say it's a comet that joined our solar system, but is not really part of it and will leave at some point. It was discovered in 1977. Chiron orbits between Saturn and Uranus and is called a bridge between our consensus reality, which is Saturn, and our higher states of consciousness, which is Uranus. And it is traveling closer to Uranus right now. Chiron was a centaur with the body of a horse and a head of a human. He was half mortal and half immortal, as his father was a god. Chiron was a great teacher and taught many of the great heroes of Greek mythology. He was also a healer who could not heal himself, so is the archetype of the wounded healer. So Chiron has just moved into Aries. It's at 0 degrees of Aries. And Aries has to do with boundaries, individuation, courage, challenges, and a pioneering spirit. Chiron in Aries has to do with the wound of identity and individuation. And as we move into higher levels of consciousness, we need to be free from old wounds and know who we are. Chiron in Aries shows us the places where we feel we are not enough. It takes courage to set good boundaries, to say I am important enough to have my needs met, and that I matter, that we all matter. It also frees us from the need to be right and unhealthy competitiveness. In the process, we come to know who we are and that everyone is unique in their own way. And we will also encounter teachers and mentors who challenge us to be all we are, or we could become those mentors ourselves for others, catalysts for change and growth. The next thing I'm going to talk about is the North Node in Cancer. Just some notes that they had that were really good, talking about the way of the heart, the feminine, the nurturer. The nodes actually changed signs on the day of the election. And the North Node has a lot to do with the feminine. And we saw women taking so many leadership roles on that day. I mean, they were elected into office. Seeking authentic emotional connection. Cancer and Capricorn are connected to the parental axis. Early nurturing or lack of it impacts us our whole lives. It's a time to return to those origins and do any healing work that still needs to be done. It is a time of soul nourishment. And let's see, just a couple more things, and then I'm going to close it up here. Hypatia talked a lot about... the south node of the moon in Capricorn opening the Akashic records, and that our past life memories will come flooding in. And they are traveling really, it's this Saturn and the south node are traveling very tightly from April through October. Pluto is there right at the beginning, but it kind of moves on. So that's a really deep time for a really strong time for those Akashic records to be open. And wherever you have this aspect at by house is where you have a lot of big work to do. And let's see. He also feels that we're moving, well, I've read this too, moving out of the Kali Yuga at this time, and some say we were actually bypassing the next stage completely. Now, what I wanted to do last here is to tie up, to talk about what's happening in 2026, because it's really some big stuff. So when planets move into new signs and move into what's called 0 degrees, it's giving a birth. It's like a whole new fresh beginning and fresh energy of that particular sign or archetype. It's about giving birth. And so in 2026, Uranus moves into 0 degrees of Gemini after being in Taurus for 7 years. Chiron moves into 0 degrees of Taurus after being in Aries for 7 years. But the really big one is that there is a Saturn-Neptune conjunction at 0 degrees Aries. And 0 degrees Aries is called Aries Point, and it's the beginning of everything. It's kind of like the Big Bang. It's the most powerful degree in the zodiac. The last time Saturn and Neptune were there was over 1,500 years ago. Now, they come together every 36 years, but not at 0 degrees Aries, not at this very powerful point. And so I see that with Saturn and Neptune coming there together, it is the birth of a new spiritual reality. Saturn being reality, Neptune being our spirituality, and a spirituality of love and compassion and that giving birth. And so we have some, I feel like we're given some really good tools to work with during this time. It's important to do our inner work and release old baggage. We're in the process of cleaning house. Forgive yourself for any past mistakes once they are acknowledged. Connect deeply with Mother Earth and nature. Take time to listen. Be in alignment with her. Take care of our bodies. Have an embodied spirituality. And it is the way of the heart and the intuition. And one of the most important things is to just simply believe. Believe in the impossible of what can happen. Hold that space because anything can happen. That's really where we are. And so just connect to Mother Earth and hang on for the ride. So that's it.
For the ride.
Yeah, hang on for the ride, right.
Well, I have a question that I want to pose to you. I've been getting a lot of direction lately that there was a huge shift. It wasn't a shift that was put in motion. It was a shift that shifted us. And that many, many people are feeling it right now. It started with the red moon, and the way it's shown to me is that the light workers have been going in and out of that archetypal space, and where that creation story lives. And we've been going there to heal ourselves. We've been going there to get transmissions. We've been going there to get direction. And then we come into this reality and we're the vehicles of service for it. And so we start to weave that direction into this everyday reality. But on the red moon, we shifted. So we don't have to go in and out like that, that we are literally walking that archetypal realm. We are walking the dream. We are being that instrument in every moment of our lives now, that it's truly here. And people are having a big time with that. It's like major moment physically for people. Some people have literally had big experiences with their bodies where they shut down, went away, came back. People have had big experiences with their minds. Maybe that's something that's aligning itself with the get really sense of confusion and like overwhelm. But it's like bringing everything into a different alignment, and people are reporting and having this kind of fluid moment in themselves as if it's shifted, but we haven't grounded yet with it. We haven't planted ourselves fully in it. We're in that process now. Can you speak to that in regards to what you've been sharing here?
Well, I would say one thing for sure, when Uranus goes into Taurus, for sure, that's, I think, will be much easier to ground that energy into our daily lives. But so you're saying that it all happened, people were experiencing that at the red moon, at the blood moon that happened in January?
But that's when it started, and I'm told that's when it started. That's when the shift started, and then the work has been about processing this and integrating, and that by the middle of March there will be a blossom.
Well, the middle of March, March 6th is when Uranus moves into Taurus, and that is an Earth energy, so it will ground it, manifest it. Yeah. So I see that, and of course that was a really strong, eclipse.
Hello?
You can't hear me? Hello? Well, yes, that blood moon was a very strong energy. It was a super moon. What was it? A super blood. There was many things, but it was a super moon where the moon was very close to the Earth. It was very red. It was very visible. And it did do a lot of shifting, and it was in the last degree of Leo. And so, Leo has a lot to do with that, divine spark that is within us about really opening up to that. And so that's maybe what I would say.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So I just want to say my brother's here to speak to me because it's important when you start speaking with people that you introduce yourself. And so I'm Jyoti, and I'm telling you at the end of our story or the beginning of your sharing. So excuse me for that. but I'm glad to be with you, and so glad Sybil has joined us and brought these kinds of teachings towards us. Now it's time. You might have a Sybil, any things that you want to share, any voice that your heart wants to give. I think Margene, they push one on their phones, and that will let you know they're raising their hand, and then Margene on you. And so we have a good 25 minutes or so to share with each other and to hear from the rest of the circle. So please push that number one, raise your hand.
Mm-hmm. It's very quiet.
That's when the angels are flying through the room and blessing all of us, is the way I was told. So we have to leave room for the angels also.
Okay.
There's Ariana. Ariana,
Yes.
Mic is open.
Oh, thank you, Margene. It's good to hear all voices and to be together in this circle and to hear, Sybil, the things that you have to share with us about astrology. I'm always so grateful to the realm of astrology and how much it can help me and help me take heart and keep going and put things in perspective. And one of the things that you mentioned was about the elder. And you said, Saturn in Capricorn, something about elderhood, bringing forth wisdom of the ancestors, honoring elders. And there's definitely a movement around that I see. And also that I like to listen to Michael Mead's podcasts and his audio recordings. And he has said something recently about elders bringing forth their inner wisdom. And so all the things that you talked about and all those different, you know, transits and what's coming has to do with, you know, us, you know, me finding my way to go through healing and transformation and change and then not only bringing forth whatever ancestral wisdom I may be able to be in connection with, but also that inner wisdom that is available. And I just felt like I wanted to bring that perspective with that piece that you were, that you had shared with us. I hope you don't mind that I'm interjecting that piece.
Thank you for bringing it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just going to say,
I don't know if you all know
that Ariana is, and there's several people involved in elder initiations, and I think it's just something that has been really lacking in our world, the honoring of elders, and so many people want it. And it is that bringing forth of that inner wisdom. And I didn't say this about Capricorn, but Capricorn, the wisdom of Capricorn is of living. It is nothing you can learn in a book. It's sharing that wisdom that you have learned through your life.
Well, that's good. And then all these things that you've shared about, you know, which I can't repeat and tried to write down feverishly, but all these aspects that are available to us for you know, transforming old patterns, digging deep and finding the essence of our soul self, having our mind and our inner receptors available to that ancestral wisdom that can serve us now. And then there's the element of being on the earth at this time, in this place at this time, that when we do our work, there's this alchemical process that contributes to whatever's the unique part of our, you know, our contribution to the wisdom, the, you know, our own inner wisdom, and then how we combine together in our circles to bring forth that wisdom and birth something new, bring forth that which is new. That's kind of how I'm holding it in myself.
Yeah, so true. Very well, very well put. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that wisdom. Okay, thank you again. And remind you, push number one, share your wisdom, please, your inspirations, your concerns.
So we have Emily. Emily, your mic is open.
Emily?
Yeah.
Hello? You're really here.
I didn't actually mean to push it, but that's okay.
So God pushed you right out in the middle of the circle to talk to us. What does your channel have to share?
I guess I really tuned into the part about like the south node in Cancer. And I just had a little baby of my own, so that was really important to me to hear about the, like, nurturing at a young age. And I also am sitting here with a friend of mine who is much more in tune to a lot of the astrology. She's been studying it real hard, so it could be for her too.
Well, I just want to share a great experience when you were talking about the Saturn-Neptune conjunction at 0 degrees Aries. Right when you said that it was going to be a new spiritual reality, we had a clap of thunder sound outside.
And we don't usually get thunder. It's very rare.
A moment to pay attention to then, for sure, huh?
Right. And so, you know, and that's 7 years away. So we've got, you know, 7 years of preparation, you know, getting there. And this is the first year. So there's much more to come.
Definitely, yeah. A lot of Saturn work for us all to do.
And I hear that new Earth angel in the background. Is that true?
Yep.
So I guess that next generation wanted to have a voice tonight.
Yeah, I guess so.
She was talking more earlier. Now she feels on the spot.
She's the one probably that brought the lightning, you know. The white eagle is the chief of the lightning beings, is what I've been taught and know. So maybe White Eagle walks closely to you all.
That's great. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom today.
Well, you're welcome.
Who else would like to share?
There is Jen.
Hey, Marjean, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
We can. Yeah.
Okay, great. It's Jen Cormier. I hopped on pretty late. I just was picking my mom up from the airport. She flew in from very cold Connecticut to very sunny San Diego here. So she's downstairs playing cars with Akoya, so I can hop on for a few minutes. So I'm just wondering, you know, I caught the gist, you know, that I got the last, you know, maybe 20 minutes of what you were sharing. And I guess my question would then be about, well, what's the prescription for the next 7 years? Because it seems like there's a seven-year walk between 2019 and 2026. And, you know, I study a little bit. I don't know that much about Western astrology. I have studied some universal Kabbalah, you know, in the seven creative planets, you know, sun, moon, moving that way, and, you know, each planet lines up in a seven-year cycle.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, from your perspective and what you know, if there's, you know, what movement is happening over the next 7 years that we can expect, and is there a way that we can have an awareness and an alignment with that so that we can best walk?
Okay, well, I would say, okay, I gave the alignment right for the first year, and some of these it will just intensify, such as Uranus in Taurus will be there for 7 years.
Okay.
So that our connection to Mother Earth is just going to be getting deeper and stronger. She's going to continue shaking, and we need to anchor into her and align with her energy, listen to her. She's going to be one of our guides as well. She's going to be our main guide because we're moving with her and listening to our bodies. Our bodies, really being connected to our bodies, having an embodied spirituality, our connection to nature, and understanding these earth changes are going to continue because she's shaking and she's letting us know where we're out of alignment with her. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's one of the pieces. The other piece, Neptune, is going to continue to be in Pisces for the next 10 years. And so just going deeper and deeper, you know, into, you know, that place of love and letting our ego dissolve and be part of something greater than ourselves. And I guess moving into unity consciousness would be another
mm-hmm.
way to say it. Moving,
mm-hmm.
you know, understanding, moving into unity consciousness. For the next 7 years, those are the two. Chiron in Aries is going to be there for the next 7 years as well. And so healing the wound of our identity and individuation and feeling, understanding that, let's see what I say here about that. Setting good boundaries. Saying I'm important enough to have my needs met, the individuation process, and becoming teachers and mentors and having teachers and mentors. Saturn will move out of Capricorn into, there'll be another big conjunction happening of Saturn and Jupiter in 2020 that sets off another 20-year cycle, and that's just, you know, that's down the road, so I'm not going to really talk about that.
Okay.
But those three energies will be in effect for the next 7 years and just get deeper and deeper. Does that answer your question, Jen?
Yeah, that sounds like a good prescription. Deepen into love, unity consciousness, listen to your body.
Connect to the earth,
embodied
right.
spirituality, be with the earth.
Right.
It's all good stuff. Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, we always have inner work to do. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's going to be in Capricorn, until 2024, I think. So the inner work still goes on too, but it is going to also change signs. So,
yeah, great. Thank you for all that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jen. Anybody else?
No. There's no. Then what's the last one? Oh, yes. There's Teresa Klein. Teresa, your mic is on.
Okay. Hello, hello. This is Teresa Klein from Vancouver, BC.
Huh?
And,
well,
it's just so beautiful to be on this call and to hear everybody's voices. I'm sort of following through with something that Arianna spoke to earlier a little bit about the elders. Had the privilege of being at an elder ceremony initiation that was here in Vancouver recently with Arianna, and it was such a powerful thing to witness, and that call that's, you know, that's going out for that piece. And the other piece that I'd really love to share is a dream that I had just recently, within the last few weeks, and it was about community, and it was about how Jen was asking about things that we can do, and I know Jyoti spoke to this earlier. In the dream, actually, Darlene was in the dream. I was in the dream with Darlene in a circle of women, and there was one other woman there who I have a very close connection with. We do dream work with, transpersonal dream work. And in the dream, in the circle, we were regenerating, we were renewing everyone's drum. So we were in a drum circle, and everyone had drums, and it was about regeneration of these drums. And then when we were finished with that, I thought, okay, we've done this, it's time for closing. And then what I got was this direct voice coming in, this intuitive direct voice, and the direction was that you're not quite finished yet. You're not quite finished yet. It's time to create the mother drum. It's time for the community drum. And it was just this very powerful thing of this drum, and then this drum sort of manifested itself within the circle. And it's just something now that I've been called to share when I'm in circle. And it's like this mother drum that we all are creating together in all these circles, in all these groups that we tend, wherever it is on the planet. So it's all of our collective drums refreshed and renewed, and then that energy of that central mother drum. So I just wanted to share that. I was called to share that. Thank you, and thank you to all of you. And Sybil, I'm so grateful to you always for your beautiful sage wisdom and for sharing all this lovely celestial. Thank you.
So I guess maybe if I were to speak to astrologically to Teresa's dream, it certainly does indicate, you know, the mother, the emotional connection with each other, the community, and the mother just coming in so strongly. And, you know, the astrology is just saying it in so many ways. There's so much feminine energy as we're leading up to this shift, that's the piece that really wants to come in. And working with each other, community, is the unity consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That felt really strong. You know, and each of us bringing our peace, and as that collective creating just that stronger resonancy. And as you speak, and as I feel that, is, you know, the importance of that as we move forward towards 2026. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And I missed part of it because I'm in this hotel with the Wi-Fi that kind of goes like the ocean outside of my door, and it brings me in and out. So I'm really trusting that. But where I want to say is thank you for sharing this dream, because the drum is the heartbeat. So what I heard in your dream was we each were taking care of our own drum, making our drum, bringing that heartbeat, and then that voice said, now it's time for the mother drum. And that's where our community can come together, its own heartbeat, and really enforce, restore Mother Earth's heartbeat. What a significant direction for you to bring to us tonight. I'm really, really thankful for your sharing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you,
Jody. I'm just going to check in with everybody, and we just have a few more minutes here. I just want to see if there's anybody else sitting in your heart that really needs to be shared or spoken to tonight. Now's the time to please offer it up. Okay, I just want to, someone, Margie?
No, there's nobody.
Okay, I want to take this last moment to really first to thank Sybil, your presentation and what you brought to our table tonight for us to go home and really sit with so we can work with it in our
in our individual drum so we can turn around and really come back to that mother drum with the force of our nature, all in a line with mother's force of nature, so that this moment we're in can be strengthened by it all. So I just want to give great thanks to you, Sybil. You just always amaze me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to take a moment to also hold Toneo in our love and our hearts. She and I in our discussions and are some of what enough is forward. So I just want to send her a big hug and kiss through the ethers that she might receive and use it in any way she can and needs to in this time of strength and healing for all of us. So thank you, Haneo, for listening to this. Thank you. And I want to take a moment to also say next month, the end of the month, the last Wednesday of March, I think is really going to be my birthday. And one of the only things, I'm going to be turning 71. So that's the 27th. Am I remembering it right? if not, you're close. So I'm going to celebrate it with you. I'm kind of taking off that day except for this call because I'm always humbled by the amazing people that walk this good path with us. And as I get on my pony and head to Columbia, Darlene and I were talking about, I usually catch something that's for the next step. She doesn't give me more than that. It's just what comes in. And so first we had divine intervention and the ways of channeling that people bring to bring messages to us that help reinforce our own understandings and to validate that we are hearing it correctly and to provide channels of love and care and compassion for the walk we're taking. And then it was the prophecy that's been here from the beginning in original times that was taking us forward in a way and giving us the direction about what we can do right now, because we are a community that walks with prophecy. We have been in service that way since we began ourselves almost 30 years ago. And we heard from our indigenous elders some of what that prophecy is about for the times we're in. And now we sit here with Sybil as we navigate the stars and the instructions that are all around us right now and living in us so that we can really align Star Nation and Mother Earth with that drumbeat, with that heartbeat. And so next time, nothing was kind of popping, and I said to Darlene, nothing's dropping in. Maybe I'm just not still enough to catch it. And she said, well, I think it's because when you get back from Columbia, you need to come and bring what that message from the earth is about and share what that journey has seeded in our field, the one that we serve and that we've cared for so long and that's growing us as we grow it. So that's what we're going to do, is dedicate that time to bringing a report back to you about a journey taken. So come dream with me, come pray with me, come sing with me. I just want to give great thanks to all of you and to all of that seen and unseen world and the way that it's coming together and the way that it's crafting us into our own authenticity. I just give so much thanks. May your hearts be open. May your mind be still. May your feet walk gently. And go with love till we talk again. Good night, everybody. Maybe Margene, you can unlock them so everybody can hear the voices of the many that are here and the ones that will join us later through the recordings. Thank you for being there, for catching this with us, and being a part of the story.
Good night, and thank you.
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 Love and peace. Love and peace.
Love you all.
Love you all. Yes.
Love. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.